is not only make sure that this electronic equipment is going to work, but also introduce you to the subject title, if you haven't already forgotten it, and it doesn't look as if it's going to work. And we have a little bit of writing missed off the bottom. I don't know if that's going to be of any detriment. Can that be changed, Roger, or is it will be okay?
Well, you see what it says.
We'll see what it says. Well, it says God's creation. Right, so human life, God's creation. That's what we're going to speak about this morning. And, first of all, I'm going to go back to when I was just a little toddler. Really, it's not that long ago, actually. And I'm sure you've all done this in your life, and we still do today. And I remember going back so long ago, one of the first things we used to do as we were growing up and talk to our mums anyway, we think, "Mummy, where do babies come from?" And, you know, I cannot remember a specific answer on that. But I feel it would be somewhat negative and somewhat naive, because all them years ago, people didn't talk about things like that. No, it weren't until you came of an age and you grew up that people talked about babies and where they came from and things of that nature. And I think similar questions have been asked by every single person, not just by myself. I think we all ask questions such as that. Where did I come from? How did I get here? Why was I born when I was? Why am I me? Why aren't I someone else? You know, and I think these are the things that stay and we think of in our mind. And we can take it a little bit further, can't we? Where did the world come from? How was the world created? How did life begin in the beginning? Was there a starting point? Is there a reason for life? Is there a purpose behind everything that we see and everything that we do? Was it just by chance that all these things around us were there? Was there a beginning? Was it created? Was it planned? Was it designed? And you know, from a little child, we do think of these things, don't we? We ask ourselves. And you know, if the truth be known, I think questions like this, they stay with us throughout our lives. Even as we get older, we think of these things. So, where does lie the real truth behind our lives? Listen to what God says. He knows. "I knew you," says God, "when you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation." He's telling us all about our lives. "I even knew the time of your birth. I know where you will live. I know what you will do," because God says, "I know you are fearfully and wonderfully made." So then, that's what we believe. But you know, most of the people in this world believe something different. They like to think of man's ideas. They like to remember, Einstein, he was good, you know. And Darwin, he had a lot of knowledge, didn't he? And the problem is, people today go along with man's ideas. And they forget about God's. And along with many other people, they accept their theories to be true. But are they true? We can come and bring it a little bit closer to people of our own age. We think of David Attenborough, for instance. We think of Stephen Hawking. They have their ideas. And we can follow them if we want, but can we accept man's ideas of being true? Because man's ideas are only what he thinks might have happened, or thinks of what will happen. He cannot prove anything. Nothing can be proven. And over the years, we know this to be true. You know, many years ago, people used to think the earth was flat. Is it flat? It was man's idea. Man always thought it to be flat, but it could never ever be proven. And along with Einstein and Darwin, none of their theories have ever been proven. Taking a little bit further, we can think of the Big Bang. Oh, it may have happened. God could cause a Big Bang if he wanted, no problem to him. But the Big Bang theory, in man's ideas, has many flaws in it. And its structure, which man has put there, cannot be proven, because they do not have the truthful answers. They have never been to find the missing links of all these problems that man has. So where do you go to find them? You go to the place who knows all about life. God is the one who created life in the beginning, so God only has the answers. And you know, we should always go to the correct source if we want the right answer, shouldn't we? So let's go back to the very beginning. If God created us in the beginning, then he knows all about us. And the Bible clearly tells us, in the beginning, God did create the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And staying in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our own image. That's exactly what he did. And God said, let us make man in our own image. So God created man. It was easy for him to do that. Both male and female. So that's the power of God. A little bit further on in Genesis he says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life. That's why we're sat here now, breathing the breath of life which God has given to us. And what is more simple than that? No grey areas. Everybody knows we breathe the breath that is there and the air that we breathe, and that which keeps us going. It sustains us. And God put it there. God created it in the first place, and therefore God has full control over everything that he has created. And you know, the creator is usually always more powerful than the created. And there is no other book in the world that proclaims to have the power of God. Because God knows all about our bodies. He knows all about the way we work. He knows how we think. He knows how our functions work. He knows our thoughts. He knows our he knows our environment. And the Bible once again tells us, oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. He knows everything about us. You know when I sit down. You know and understand my thoughts. You know my paths. You know where I am going. You are acquainted with all my ways. You know there is no other book in the world that tells us that. Nowhere. Simply because God is the creator. And he knows what he's talking about. Because he knows all about life. He knows how it works. He knows about the future. There's nothing can be hid from God. You know, I think in reality, man has come a long way, yes. And he does his own thing. And you know, one of the most greatest technology in the achievement of man is that thing that I'm playing around with here in front of me. The computer. And you know, it's so powerful is this machine, not this particular one, but computers are so powerful they can almost run anything in this planet Earth except from human nature and human life. That's something computers cannot do. And the brain behind the computer is that, of course, the wonderful silicon chip. And you know, one of the oldest and most powerful computers in the world is the one at NASA Control. It is updated on a regular basis, obviously for space investigation and other things. And statistics say that it can receive and process approximately 2 billion signals per second. Wow, that's some achievement, isn't it? Some achievement. And we may quite acknowledge this fact that man certainly has made a powerful brain for the computer. But in reality, wow, how insignificant it is compared to the human brain. And you know, the world's most powerful computer would take 3 months to calculate what the human brain can do in 1 second. Now, if you've got a calculator handy, just take it out and you will realise that the human brain on that statistic works out that it is 6.5 million times quicker than a computer. That's God, creation. And it goes a bit further. Amazing thing is God's creation. Take for instance the human eye. It has remarkable functions. It's got 3D vision. It perceives colours. It recognises shapes. It focuses near and far. It evaluates distances. It's got an automatic lubrication system built in. It's got instant reaction. It's even got built-in light sensors. And a lot more other things as well. And along with other things, this one eye sends 6 billion signals per second to the brain. It's just one part of the human body. In reality, man is really insignificant to God, isn't he? So we may ask the question then, why did God create us? Why are we here? Well, the Bible once again has the answer. Revelation tells us quite clearly why we were created. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive honour and glory, for you have created all things for your pleasure. We are here to please God. That's why he created us, so we can bring honour and glory to the God who created us in the first place. And we bring honour and glory to God because he created us. And what did he do? He says, right, I want you to go out there, he says, and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the more people on this earth, the more people can give honour and glory to God. And isn't this what we do in our lives? We find someone of the opposite sex. We start courting them for a while. We fall in love with them. Then we marry them, then we have children, then we bring up our children up, and then we all together as one loving family, and we create a bond with our children, vice versa with the parents. It's exactly the same with God. God is our Father, we are his children, we are his family. And we create a bond of love together, just like we do as our earthly family. And why? Because God says, I am your Father, I want you to bring me pleasure, give me honour, let me love you and you love me. That's what he does. And if we do this, it gives God a great deal of pleasure. It does. We give him respect. We give him honour and glory. I am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to shower that love on you, just like we do with our children, simply because you are my child and I am your father. But it didn't work out like that. No. As much as God wanted it to, it didn't. Because man decided he would prefer to please himself rather than please God. And so what happened was that he faced the consequences, and that it would mean, unfortunately, that man will die rather than live. You know, and being honest, I don't like that idea. And you know, it'd be good if I could change it, but unfortunately I can't. You know, it's never appealed to me, isn't this bit of dying when you get to a certain age? No. To be truthful, I'm not really keen on it. No, but I can't stop it. It's there. You know, I don't like to think that once I've lived a few years and I've departed from this wonderful world, that no one will ever remember me again. But they won't. That's it. I won't be able to. I'll have no friends. I'll have no wife. I'll have no children. I'll have no love. I'll have no pleasure. I won't be able to speak to anybody. I can't see anything. I can't do anything. Think of what I've missed. You know, all these thoughts go around in your mind, don't they? The niggling thoughts. We can't do anything about it. We cannot change this fact of life. And so then, make us think that, well, if God's created us for pleasure so we can give him honour and glory and have a loving family with him and do the things that he says, then why should this be so? Why are we going to die? Because God created man and woman in the first place. He did. And if we go back to the beginning, yes, he did. And he planted him in a beautiful garden, everything they could possibly want. And he planted in that garden two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they were special trees, these. Yeah. And what God said was, right, you've got everything you want, but there's just one stipulation. He says, says you can eat of every fruit you can see. Every tree in the garden you can have and you can eat and enjoy it. But of that one particular tree, the tree of knowledge, of life, so you're not going to eat on that one. Because, he says, if you do, you're going to die. That's what God said. And what did they do? They went their own way. And what they did, they ate of that tree, which they shouldn't have done. And so what happened was that because they gave a choice and they decided to go their own way, they will now die. And you know, in the beginning, when God did create the heavens and the earth and he created human life, he didn't create human life to die. No, he didn't. He created human life to live in harmony with God. But in reality, for thousands of years, man has done exactly the opposite. And because of that, all men shall die. And that is why we die. And no make mistake about it, when we are dead for a very long time. It's not just for a little bit. Ecclesiastes clearly tells us, the living know they will die, the dead don't know anything though. They don't have any more reward, the memory of them will be forgotten. Their love and their hatred, even their empire. They have no more a portion, forever, gone, finished with. No going to heaven when you die, no there isn't. No stairway to heaven in this life. No. Once again, that's man's ideas. No, dust thou art, says God, and dust you will return. It's as simple as that. So then, if this all there is to life, we live our lives as we do, and then we die, what's the point in having a belief without any benefit? Well, it is a benefit. But the only thing is, God says, because of your sin, you will have to die before you receive that benefit. So it's not something you can have now, but I'm going to give it to you later on in life. Sometime in the future. And he tells us in the Bible quite clearly, what does he say? For the wages of sin is death, which we hope we know that by now. But he goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow, that sounds interesting now. It certainly does, doesn't it? It's one or the other. Life or death. Nothing in between. And you know, God is very... He's determined to fulfill his promises. Oh no, make no mistake about it. He will fulfill his promises. He clearly tells us in the New Testament, in John chapter 10, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall pluck them out of my hand. What a wonderful blessing this is. And he goes on, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you were dead, yet shall you live. God doesn't want us to die, he wants us to live. God wants us to have eternal life in the kingdom of God. And that's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus died. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. At the beginning of our talk, we said that man had a choice, and he chose to do one thing, his own thing. And he paid the consequences for it, isn't it? And we today do exactly the same, all thousands of years later, don't we? We tend to go our own way. We tend to disregard the things that God talks about. We tend to do the things that we want. And this is why we sin. This is why we end up dying like everyone else. But what does the Word of God say? He says there is a way out. That is baptism. And baptism is total immersion in water. And Mark 16, verse 16 clearly tells us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. That is very, very important. It is a requirement necessary for salvation. So necessary was that Jesus proved of it. Jesus was baptized, and it is the only way to salvation. And we cannot get confused with man's ideas once again of that of sprinkling. Christening, whatever you want to call it, because it is not a teaching of the Bible. And it is definitely not a substitute for baptism. Well, I think that's a brilliant idea that God says if you get baptized, then you can have eternal life. Well, in fact, to be honest, the best thing I've heard all day. But we can have some benefit. God says, look, if you follow in my ways and believe in me, you will benefit from it. And it's true, we will. God says that we will. And he doesn't lie. Everyone that knows me and believes in me may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's very clear to me. God gave us life in the beginning, and so it doesn't matter if we are dead or not, when we died or how we died, because if God created us, is also the power to give us life even after death. And this is what Jesus is going to do when he returns, because he is going to put into action all the promises that God said he will give to mankind. And you know, God knows what this world is like, and he knows human life, he knows how things are. You know, he knows every single thing. He knows, he don't miss nothing. He doesn't miss a thing, doesn't God? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It doesn't matter where you are or what we do. Being honest, when God looks down on this world, I don't think he likes what he sees. I don't. I don't think he's very happy, especially about the situation. And so it's on his priority list to do something about it. And he is going to do something about it. Why? Because he can see the sorrow and the misery that we have to go through. And so God says, look, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change it. And Revelation says, I shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow. There will be no crying. There will be no more pain. The former things will gone. No one of our greatest moments in life are when we feel loved, when we feel cared for, when we have something to look forward to in life. Those are the great moments in our lives. And you know, God is the only person that can give us that ultimate prize. This is what Jeremiah says. You know, my plans for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with everlasting love. These are God's words. I don't want you to die, I want you to come unto me and have everlasting life in the kingdom of God. And that's what God can do. And the simple reason why he can do this is because God created life. God created death. And God created resurrection. He has the power. And so we may ask, where are we going? Where is our final destination? Do we go on man's ways and man's ideas to everlasting death, or do we follow in the way of God, where we can receive everlasting joy? Well, we have to say, don't we? The choice is yours. Those are my last words. May the Lord bless you in your search for the truth, and may he give you eternal life in the kingdom of God. Well, thank you for being here, and we hope you have enjoyed what God has had to say about human life.